ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
I said, praise the Lord.
So, we laid a foundation last week on the kingdom wealth or kingdom finances, as it were. And if you look at the altar, there is 6 prophetic words. So, I need to explain that to us. Why are we doing this at this time? Because we are walking in the reality of a prophetic word, unprecedented favor release, generational blessings activated, mission-driven people emerges, financial stewardship birth in being passed, harvest of the heart, and emergence of worshipers. God is a God of process. God is a gradualist. Everything God does, he starts by declaring it prophetically. So when we talk about the subject of kingdom wealth, what I found out that for a lot of believers, we have reduced it to just money. As we lay this, further build on this foundation this morning, you will. So in this teaching, it's for us to just develop a vision. In case you have not done that, develop a vision. The fact that God prospers, the fact that God has a reason for prospering you as an individual, prospering your business, prospering your community, prospering your family. God is always doing this thing with a sense of vision. So we're looking at the subject of kingdom wealth. And last week, Reverend Dr. Shola Kolade started laying that foundation with us on 5 things. And I will try and build on those 5 blocks. And then as God help us through this series. So today we're looking at the purpose. The purpose. One of those 5 things that he shared with us last week is the purpose. You know, it's been said that where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. There is a handheld mic here. The head looks good. I can actually pick it up and use it to nail something on the wall. But by the time I'm through, that microphone will be useless. Even though it looks like a hammer or something that can help me drive whatever I want to drive into the wall, if I insist on using it, it spoils. Maybe I will not even be able to drive it in. It spoils both the microphone and whatever I intend to use. So where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, the word of the Lord says, where there is no vision, the people perish. One rendering says, where there is no revelation of God, people cast off restraint. Okay, that's the NKJV. So where there is no vision, people perish. Vision keeps us aligned to purpose. So it's very critical as we go through this. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18 will be for us like a scripture. You hear me saying this a lot in this, using this word, reminding us. It says, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. He said, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. What is the reason? That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your father as this day. If you get back home, it will be nice as we run through this series to actually study Deuteronomy from maybe chapter 11 all through to this 18. You will see what God has in mind for his own people. So the very first statement I like to make is that God has a kingdom economy, just like the world has an economy, an ecosystem, as is referred to. So God has an economy, the kingdom economy. Jesus said, this kingdom economy, this kingdom is within us. Philemon writing, Paul writing, he says, the communication of our faith will become effective when we acknowledge this good kingdom in us. So in Deuteronomy 8, you see how God gave Israel the vision of the land he was taking them to. And verse 1 says, every commandment which I command you this day, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply. So that is the vision. God wants us to live well. God wants us to not only live well, but to multiply what he has given us. He said that we may go in and possess the land. So he wants us to live well, one level. He wants us to multiply another level, but he also wants us to go in and possess the land of which he swore. And he was reminding them that when they started their journey, verse 4 says, their garment did not wear. Verse 3 says, he fed them. Verse 6 says, they must keep his commandment. He said, for the Lord your God, verse 7 says, bringing you into a good land. So God has an economy. He has a land. God has a territory. And God is looking for that one person, that two persons who are ready to do work for him. So we will understand this purpose very soon. But 17, 18 says it. He said, the tendency for us, all of us as human beings, to forget God's doing and dealing in our lives is very sure. Human beings, our memories are short. Our memories are short. I was listening to the president, the new president of Kenya, in the course of this week, and he said something very interesting. I know that we don't want to hear such testimony from politicians anymore. How he was at the age of 19, and apparently the man who sold the shoe to his father was sitting in that audience. That at the age of 19, that was when his dad was able to buy the first batter shoe for him. But this is the story. He said, so today, he said, that same boy that was walking with his leg is sitting as president. He said, so don't mind me. If some of us, we lift up our hands in public functions, if in the bid to lift up our hands, tears start rolling out of our eyes, he said, we just choose to remember how he has helped us. And I just brought in that story, not because, I mean, politicians, we have promises, campaign promises about not wearing shoes before. But the point that I'm bringing out is that human beings, we tend to forget. But he says, you will remember. You will remember. The Lord your God, he gives us power. He gives us ability. He gives us strength. He gives us skills to make a living. And the whole essence is that he blesses us so that we can become a blessing. We must all not forget that. No matter the promotion, no matter the increase, no matter the enlargement, if you are a kingdom person, you must never get to that point
where you begin to say in your heart, my hands and my skill and my talents has gotten me. God says, we all have the tendency to forget. He said, but hey, thou shalt remember. You will remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get. Strength to make a living. Ability to be able to harness resources together into productive venture. He said, when you do that, he also has a reason. So we will talk about all those reasons as we proceed in this teaching. The thought that God has his mind is because of his love for humanity. So when God prosper you, never forget. It's not just for you. It's not just for me alone, for us to be good and to be well. It has something to do with human beings on planet Earth. And I pray that the Lord will give us this understanding as we proceed in these teachings in Jesus' name. So the subject of wealth creation has always been an interesting discourse among human beings. Whether they are believers or non-believers, everyone thinks about it. But this morning, as we build on what has been said last week, God has good in his land. That's what I want to say. Because see, one of the things about this vision is that there is good in the land of God, but believers in Christ must also develop the vision that that good belongs to them. That good must be used for God's purpose while we are still here. We won't live forever, but while we are still here, everything God has given us, he also gives us that wisdom to be able to harness it into productivity and viability. So, God has good in his land. God has an economy. And when we learn insight into the working of that economy, it helps us to generate wealth. I've said God is a gradualist, but he operates in principles. And if you look around us, principle is what governs life. If I try to lift up my leg now, whatever seconds it takes, where am I going? I'm going down. Because there is a law, there is a principle of gravity. I can only suspend that when I introduce a higher law, which is the law of aerodynamics. So you can say, general law, people want to make money. The law of aerodynamics is the kingdom law. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, from the law of poverty. And then it has given me grace to be able to see the way God sees. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So God operates in principles. And the principles are in his word. And if there is anything that God does not do, he does not break his word. God is committed to his word. Psalm 138 verse 2. He said he has exalted his word above his names. He has exalted. So we may know the names of God is Jehovah, Jireh, El Shaddai, El Elyonai, but God still has placed his word above his name. In other words, his word is his bond. So when he sees you and I responding to what his word says, I mean, he's committed. He doesn't go back on his word. In case you don't know, that's what should also help us to have this vision. There are, in the Bible, there are over 2,300 Bible verses that talks about wealth, possessions, money mindset, contentment, investment, greed. So there are over 2,300. They are not, even when it comes to prayer, we don't have such verses. So there are more. So it tells you that God's intention is that he hates poverty. He's not an author of it. Because whatever you give credence to means the state of your heart. He said, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So We must understand that. And what God has done in our lives as believers is that he has put the kingdom within us. So Luke 17, 21, it's not something we look out to. Everything that will make you worthy is within you. What is the missing gap? The ability to see and the ability to harness what you see. Ability to see and then the ability to harness what you see. So wealth is a blessing from God. Wealth is a blessing from God to all those who are faithful, that's kingdom wealth now, and obedient. So that kingdom is ability to recognize that we have these resources that God has equipped each one of us with and will help us to harness it to the advancement of his kingdom. When we say kingdom, it means its cause. God hates poverty. So he hates it when he sees it among human beings. God hates sickness. He hates it when he sees. I'm saying this for you so that you can understand how this wealth will expand. We put money in research for medicine so that diseases can be cured. I want to expand our vision about it. We put money into communities, provide potable waters, provide healthcare, so that diseases can be minimized or is out completely. You know, people still die of malaria in Nigeria, even up to this morning. So imagine us putting money into research. So the kingdom is within us. Look at what he says in Job 36:11. Job 36:11. He said, if they obey and serve me. He's talking to the believer. And through this series, I've been talking to us as believers so that we can develop that vision. If they obey and serve me, they shall spend their days. If they obey and serve me, they respond to the things I've given to them. They shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Isaiah 1:19. This will help us to develop this vision for the kingdom world. He said, if you are willing and then obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So there is good in his land. God has an economy, and we need to understand it. So, questions that people usually ask. What is the difference between riches and wealth? Or prosperity and wealth? The main difference between a rich person and a wealthy person is sustainability. That's the difference. Sustainability. What does that mean? The rich may have money for a short period, so we call them rich or prosperous, because they have flows of things, resources around them. But the wealthy have discovered how to work with the wealth within such that they no longer worry about the physical or material resources. So the wealthy may not have physical cash, but the wealth in their minds, the wealth within them, if they decide to bring it out, they can harness it, they can create value that will lead to them having physical things. Did you get that this morning? I just want to lay this because we are going on a journey. And these are the things that I believe in my heart that God sees. When each one of us can build this character, it's much more than, oh, God give me, God give me, God give me. Oh, I need this, I need this, I need. It's for us to become aware. Philemon says that. He said the communication of our faith will become effectual when we can acknowledge it. When we can acknowledge it. God is worthy. God has all the resources there. But it's us who need to build character to be able to receive it, to be able to see, to be able to harness it, and then to be able to utilize it the way He has intended it to be utilized. Have you heard this statement? It's a very common statement around us. Money means road. What they are simply saying, such people have physical resources, but they don't have the character to sustain it. So the difference is sustainability. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, what is wealth in the Bible? That's another question. Is the heart, A-R-T, in other words, you may not know it, but you can develop it, you can learn it. The heart of developing character trait, such as trustworthiness, truthfulness, assertiveness, compassion, honesty, honor, and prayerfulness. If you have interacted with most organizations, they have what they call vision, mission, core values. They are the very thing that drives what they do. So, wealth in the Bible is not so much about financial substance. It's largely about character. So, as kingdom people, if we want to operate in kingdom wealth, because this translates, if God gives any of us a vision for a business, God expects that we should do that business with a sense of trustworthiness. He expects us to operate in business with a measure of truthfulness, assertiveness, compassion, honesty, honor, and then prayerful to be able to keep aligned to the vision that God has given us. What are the four types of wealth that the Bible talks about? Number one, financial wealth, which talks about literally money. Number two, social wealth, which talks about our influence. Proverbs 18:24, whoever desires a friend must show himself friendly. I've had people say it this day, social capital. It means people can recommend you. The Bible talks about it. The Bible talks about that rich man that asked for the body of Jesus. They were friends of Jesus. So there is social wealth. Number three, there is time wealth. Time. Ecclesiastes 3:11, the Bible talks about it makes all things beautiful in its time. So there is time wealth. The Bible talks about it. And then there is the fourth one, physical wealth, which talked about our health. 3 John 2, it says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the Bible talks about financial wealth, social wealth, time wealth, and then physical wealth. Those four things are critical when we're talking about God's economy. Unfortunately, if you don't know, I'm saying it, emphasis of the church has only been on financial wealth. And so, one of the things that did for us, it took many of our people to not understanding what contentment is, and we allow greed and covetousness. But God wants us to be balanced. And one of the maybe problem that we still have, or we are grappling with in the body of Christ, is a problem of balance. We just swing to extremes. And God wants us to just mend like pendulum. You swing, you understand it. Balance is God. God is the God of balance. Otherwise, I mean, we would have been walking with our legs if the whole planetary system, they are just disorganized anyhow. Maybe at one time, some people will be walking, part of the city you will be walking with your head, and another part of the city, some people will be walking, and another part of the city, people will just be walking like that. So God is balanced. God wants us wealthy. That's a sin. And every believer who is operating in this kingdom must understand that the greatest wealth of God He has given us, and that's the gift of Jesus. That's why in Corinthians, he said, thank God, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Because if you really want to understand anything, when you access Jesus, that is the beginning of life. You are introduced into the land. Health is yours. Material blessing is yours. Victory over sin is yours. So, wealth is a very, it's the whole combo. So, when we just pick one and we run after it and we leave the others, it doesn't help us to have a balanced life. That's why some people run after the money, they never get it and they lose their health. But we need to understand it. It's balanced. Time is given to us to expose our lives to work. Potentials to work. You are next to skill. You are proficient in what you do. And then you come to a point where you use time maximally. Praise God. Praise God. I was in conversation with someone in the course of the week. And I understand that some people, I mean, it's the same time given. But some people will work for 1 hour and they get £20. Some other people will work and they get £100. Some other people will work and they get £700. Some other people will work and they get £2,000. Some other people will work and they get £7,000. It's the same 1 hour. So, but someone they understood how these things work. They have probably taken time to develop their skills. They have taken time to make progress in their life journey, such that when they come out at that process, the end of that processing land, they are valued because it's the gift that they have, it's the talents that they have, they are bringing on the table, and that's what is giving them that kind of value. £20, £7,000 is the same world, the same space. But hey, what makes the difference is time wealth and what they have used with that time. Can I have an amen this morning? So what is the purpose of kingdom wealth? Number one, it must be profitable. Kingdom wealth, wherever it is, there is profit in it. He said, remember the Lord your God who gives you power to get. And where you have it, that he may establish. So kingdom, I mean, you can put it, whether it's your career, whether it's your family, whether it's your business enterprise, the first thing to all labor, like the Bible says, there is profit. All labor, there must be profit. All labor, there should be profit. That's why the Bible will say, he who will not walk, let them not eat. All labor. So a believer must be proficient. When we talk about kingdom wealth, a believer should not waste time. Time is an asset. That's why the Bible says redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. A believer does not waste time. They utilize time. Time is a convertible resource. It's a wealth. 24 hours. It's given to everyone in equal measure. What we do from it. You know that Solomon said something. He said the Lord is... I'm trying to get that, but what that scripture literally say in Proverbs, he said the Lord is the maker. He said the rich, yeah, I got it. The rich and the poor meet together. He said the Lord is the maker of them all. One rendering says the meat and the poor are in the same place, but how they utilize time makes the difference. I'm saying this as we go through this series, Christianity is not synonymous with laziness. Wherever you find Christianity, the spirit of excellence must show forth. Psalm 8 says, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So if we represent his name, one of the virtues that must be flowing from our life is the spirit of excellence. They said this Daniel 6:3, was preferred because an excellent spirit was found in him. So, one thing that you will see whenever we are operating in kingdom wealth is that we're living that profitable life. Kingdom businesses must be profitable. Kingdom careers must be profitable. Kingdom marriages must be profitable. Without profit, work cannot be generated. Without profit, wealth cannot be generated. According to Deuteronomy 8:18, without wealth, God's covenant will not be established. Abundance of possession and resources. Of course, kingdom wealth goes beyond material possession, but it includes spiritual riches, such as righteousness, right standing with God, such as peace, such as joy. Those are the things this kingdom gives. It says, so the definition of kingdom wealth is the abundance of resources with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because natural abundance without spiritual abundance is empty and useless. There's a great confusion in the body of Christ today, in the world generally, about true wealth. How it is acquired and the purpose to which we use it. The world system limits wealth to material things. Some in the body of Christ has also defined wealth by the income people make rather than sustained profit that is generated through industrious activities. True wealth must include spiritual abundance and must be sustainable. Otherwise, it will be empty and short-lived. The scripture is clear. God has given us, that is the body of Christ, the power to get wealth. And if this is so, the question will be, why do we still lack resources to carry out the mandate of Christ? Four reasons I'm going to give. Number one, we are not obeying the scriptures in all aspects of our lives. That may be a reason for that. Secondly, we tend to employ worldly strategies to acquire wealth. You know, Pastor, Reverend Doctor, talked about Ponzi scheme last week. Sometimes it's investment without guidance. Sometimes it's when we run into trouble that we now remember the Lord our God. So employing worldly strategies to acquire wealth may be the reason. Another one, we just have one income-based model rather than a wealth-based model. Another one, we attempt to limit our strategies to miracles rather than blending miracles with industry. I'll come back to that first, the fourth one. In the course of the teaching. In the body of Christ, people will rather stay with miracle services Monday through Sunday rather than to go and walk. So they receive the anointing, they use the anointing to fight each other, and then by the time they are out there, children of this world in their generation are more proficient than us who are the children of light. So how does kingdom wealth come? Number one, through obedience to the word of God. Two, obedience to industry. Three, ability to maintain sustained profits. When we obey God's word, what happens? It gives us favor. When we are committed to industry, secondly, it allows us to use our God-given gifts, skills, and treasure to diligently take advantage of opportunities in the market space. And when we acquire it, the sustained profit, what that does for us, as we acquire things, as we build up, we have the vision to reproduce and multiply, because those are God's desire for us. So another question, what is the purpose of wealth? God bless us with wealth so that we can use the wealth to fulfill his covenant. We must never forget that. As we run through this series, is there a place for saving? Yes, we will talk about it. Is there a place for investment? Yes, we will talk about it. The Bible says there is a treasure that is desired in the house of the righteous. But it's the foolish person who spends everything that they get. The Bible says that fools spend all their money as soon as they get it. So, Bible provides place for savings. It provides place having us to build up for investment. It provides space for multiplication. The Bible provides space for financial literacy. It's not about give, 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 give. The Bible provides this place. So there are things we do with money. We earn it. We save it. We multiply it. We'll invest it. And then we give it. So five things we usually do with money. But at the end of the day, one thing's wrong. Through this, God gives his people wealth to be able to establish his covenant. That's what happened to Israel. And it's still the same thing that Jesus did for us. So what's God's covenant? God's covenant is his will. As I begin to tie this up for today, it's his will for all mankind. That's his covenant. What is God's will for mankind? Basically, that through mankind, all will be saved. All will be saved. So, what is the purpose of kingdom wealth? Number one, that all be saved. That all be saved. John 3:16. So, whether you as an individual, when you use the resources God has given you, skill, talent, please never forget that the number one thing that you can use to establish this covenant is that you want people to be saved. There are probably people here, you have missionary. There are people here, you are providing things for community. Yourself as an individual, your company as an individual. And in case you don't do that yet, please have it as a vision. That's how to establish the covenant. That all people... John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Jesus is not going back on the cross. But you and I who are saved, who are kingdom people, God put resources in our heart that we can spread that message. God did not send his son to the world. That's 17:18. But he said that the world may be perished. He said that the world may be saved through him. God doesn't want anyone to pray. So the number one reason for kingdom wealth is that all be saved. Second reason, that all will experience the abundance life. Abundant life. Abundant life. There are things we can do to help people experience that life. Put money into research. Build schools. Cooperate with people who are doing worthy causes. You know what he says in John 10:10? That thief come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come. And we are the representative of Jesus in our own day. We are the representative of Jesus in the city of Lagos. We are the representative of Jesus in the country of Nigeria or wherever you are this morning watching us from. So, the second reason or what purpose is that all will experience the abundant life. There are communities that they don't need, probably if they have portable water, there's no need to build hospitals. I don't know if you are open to news. You know, Lassa fever is deadly than Ebola or deadly than COVID-19 virus. And Lassa fever is still killing people in Nigeria. And how does that work? Just, you know, in all those interior places, they don't have proper things to spread their gari and all those things. So if they spread, it's transmitted from animal to human transmission. So if rats or rodents or whatever passes over it and excretes on those food and they consume it, Lassa fever gets developed. And people can run temperature that takes them out. Within days, there are communities that we still have, even though it's not publicized, ringworms. I'm saying this to you because he said, let me tell you the reason why you are here. Is that not what he says? So as we, you see, if I want financial stewardship batting pass to me, my heart must expand with such vision ahead of time. If I want to my business to have unprecedented favor, because God knows, then my heart must be expanded ahead of time. I don't know if some of you, they still do it. Placing Bible in Hotels by Gideon International is a group of business people, but their heart is expanded. They know what hotel is, but they have a mandate that someone will come in contact. So they do prison, they do hotels. I mentioned Full Gospel some few weeks back. I didn't complete my story. But Full Gospel business people is that they knew that some people will never walk into a church business people, but they see these people in boardrooms. So how do we reach them? And God gave that man of blessed memories, Demos Shakirian, that vision. Invite them into where they operate. Take the gospel to where they are, which is usually business people are in hotels. Invite them for breakfast meetings. And then through that, they discuss and all that, they preach the word, they eat breakfast. And some people, the way it's done, is like what we are doing with BBS. You give somebody tickets to come for a breakfast meeting. And they come. And it's like you throw the net. But someone developed the heart for it. There's one man, Arthur Litoni. That's his name. The man who developed all these heart-moving equipment. There was a time, Christian man, there was a time all that people were doing with construction is wheelbarrow. And this man, he had equivalent of primary six, but a good Christian businessman. And God gave him a vision. So he sleeps. All this caterpillar, all this excavator that we see today, he will sleep. He will see some things, draw it in his paper, give it to the engineers. They will say it's not possible. He will see it again. And then that's how all this heart-moving equipment, cranes, came into being. So God is looking for that one person. And I believe in my heart that this country, Nigeria, one of the reasons why we are still together, where there will be, the reason why there will be no war is because the prosperity of this nation is tied to the whole continent of Africa. So let your heart be expanded. God is looking for Christian business people. God is looking for career people. At this time. And that is where the message of evangelism. You know, it's in the time past, the move was miracle, miracle, miracles. And we just have thousands of people gathered in a place. No, but it's miracle, miracle, miracles in the marketplace. If you see the book of hearts, it's there. And we're coming to that level. So, for generational blessings to be activated, your heart must be expanded for increase. You must see that the Lord your God is taking you to a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where you will eat bread without scarceness. And so whatever you do it with that sense of trustworthiness, that sense of honesty and industry. You know, I said to the Lord each time, one of the reasons, you know, you make a case for your country. One of the reasons why this country will not go scatter. A lot of people just look at the physical and say, let it be scattered. Mm-mm, it cannot scatter because God has a greater agenda than our present overwhelming situation and circumstances. You know, in our national anthem, the second stanza, it said, through honesty and industry. True honesty is there. So, one of the reasons why kingdom wealth is necessary is that God wants all to be saved. Number two, he wants all to experience his abundant life. Number three, God wants the works of the enemy to be destroyed. Poverty is the work of the enemy. There is no, and I hope that all of us in this room, nobody is having this consciousness that just let me be provided for. Let me be able to do school fees for my children, have a house, build a house, just be comfortable. No, let your vision be expanded. And I hope that none of us also have the vision that Christianity, it has nothing to do with wealth. I just want to make heaven. I just want to make heaven. No, that piety, you must lose it. Even if you don't need the money, there are people, children, who can afford. You know that Nigeria is one of the places, if not the number one place, where children out of school are prevalent. And in that part of our nation, where that is happening, every day, men are still giving birth. So, if I just stay with my own children, my child or my children, we interact with people in the greater society. So, let our hearts be expanded. There is the works of the enemy for children to be born. Who didn't have to be born? But to be born and not be cared for. Like I said, let our heart just develop with this vision. That's the essence of today's message. that the works of the enemy. 1 John 3:8 said, for this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he may destroy the works of the enemy. Sickness, poverty, curses, they are works of the enemy. They are works of the enemy. And we must be ready as light and salt, play our own part. And God wants to use our industry to do much. That's why if you don't have a vision for a business, still have a vision that you will generate substances to co-partner with people. Because it says emergence of new businesses. Maybe because your heart has not been there. No, don't reduce it. There is a part of you that is entrepreneuring. You may not be actively playing that role, but you can work with people. And the fourth reason for kingdom wealth is that none of his children should suffer lack. None of his children. The piety that Christianity brings is contentment, not poverty-stricken people. It's contentment. Contentment. We get into it. We have to draw the line ahead of time. Ahead of time. What is my limit? What is my limit? What do I want out of life? You have to define it for yourself under God. And then allow God to give you that vision. That vision. I see a whole lot on the social media. That's make-believe life. And Christians, if we are not careful, we want to be like that. No. We are in this world, but we are not of that stock. Our identity is not from what we own. It's who we are. That's where our identity is. If you don't get it, we can just shift all our energy into what we own. And we own, and we are dissatisfied in the midst of owning. No, godliness with contentment is great gain, not just gain, it's great gain. He said, we brought nothing into this world. And when the time is up for each one of us, we will not go with anything. I understand in some part, they bury some people with gold in the night. The people who need the gold come back there and settle the market. And they are not, some of those guys are not even tidy about it. So they just leave everything on the surface there. That's why he says, what shall it profit a man? So we don't live for ourselves. We live for God. We live for his purpose. We live for the assignment. So please, let's not forget, the purpose of kingdom wealth is one, that all be saved. Two, that all experience abundance life of Jesus. Three, that the works of the enemy will be destroyed. Four, that none of us will lack. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12, as I close, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12, he said, that you also aspire. So there must be a vision to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to walk with your own hands as we have commanded you. Verse 12, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, that's non-believers, but that you may lack nothing. So the vision must be there. The vision of abundance, the vision of contentment. And I'm speaking to great people this morning. And I know that we will not fail God in our own generation. I know we will put things in proper perspective. Those things that eyes have not seen, I pray that your eyes will be opening to them. Those things that ears have not heard, I pray that your ears will be open to them. Those things that has not entered into the heart of any man. Please, I want you to develop this vision. And if by reason of your business, because if you have something to do across Africa, you need private jet. I'm saying this to the business people here. Let it be part of your vision. Minister Akin went to Sierra Leone. Took you about 8 hours to get to Sierra Leone. Because you had to fly. Time, wealth. We are wasting time. We are waiting wealth. Time, that's why they say time is what? Money. Time is a convertible resource. You have a vision. If God has told you what you need to do, he's going to cover this Africa as before, I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but I'm just inspired. I finished my message. I have that vision that part of this thing, God will put resources in your hands. Your skill will be annexed to the point that, you know, we need to teach people as light and salt. It's not everybody at the moment in Nigeria who is collecting government contract. I hope you know that. It's also not everybody in Nigeria at the moment who is giving bribe. It's not everybody in Nigeria who is doing dirty business. There are people who has, and as believers, we must, if there are people already, God has remnant, we must be part of that remnant. I pray that this week will be a week of blessing, a week of open eyes. I pray the Lord our God will continually anoint your eyes to see, anoint your ears to hear, anoint your heart to comprehend this thing. The kingdom words which God has purposed for his people, it will not elude you. The blessings of the Lord that makes rich and have no sorrow. You swim and walk in the reality of it. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this blessed week. It's a week of blessing, a week of grace, a week of favor, a week where lines continually fall onto us in pleasant places because we have a goodly heritage in you. Thank you for your blessing. Over our community of believers, thank you for your blessing. There is divine strength for everyone. There is divine opportunities for everyone. There is divine vision for everyone. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We will walk and live in the reality of your word. And Lord, over our family, it is shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. But Lord, you will use us to establish your covenant, which you swear to your people. We thank you. In Jesus' precious name.
This message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,